They were going to get me. I saw them waiting near the bus stop. Melanie, Sarah and Kim. Kim, the worst one of all. They'd spotted me. I stood still. I couldn't really see that far, even with my glasses. Kim didn't wear glasses, of course. Girls like Kim never wear glasses or braces on their teeth. They never get fat. They never have a silly haircut. They never wear stupid baby clothes.
Every day is so wonderful, and suddenly it's hard to breathe. Now and then I get insecure from all the pain. I'm so ashamed.
If I ran back, they'd only run after me. So I went on walking. I tried to think what to do. Daddy told me to try teasing her back. But you can't tease girls like Kim. There's nothing to tease her about. Mum said, just ignore them and then they'll get tired of teasing. They hadn't got tired yet. I was getting nearer and nearer. I tried very hard to look cool and to stare straight past them. Arthur King was waiting at the bus stop. I stared at him instead. He was reading a book as usual. I like reading too. It was a shame Arthur King was a boy, and a bit weird. Otherwise we might have been friends. I didn't have any proper friends now that Melanie was in Kim's gang. Kim can be so scary. She was right in front of me now. I had to look at her. Her bright black eyes and her glossy hair and her big mouth smiling, showing all her white teeth. I knew I mustn't cry, no matter what. Ignore them. Ignore them. Ignore them.
She's trying to ignore us, said Kim triumphantly. Did Mumsy Wumsy tell you to ignore us, rude, nasty girlies, then?
I couldn't ignore her any more. She'd step straight in front of me. I swallowed.
Where is Mumsy anyway? She said. Not like Mumsy to let little Mandy mince home all by herself.
I could feel her voice roaring right through my head. I peered round desperately. Arthur King was looking up from his book, staring. I couldn't stand him seeing. I tried hard to pretend that everything was normal. My mum's at the dentist's, I said, as if Kim and I were having a completely ordinary conversation.
Well, your mum jolly well needs to go to the dentist's, said Kim. She's so wrinkly and grey and ancient, I expect all her own teeth are crumbling right away. You shut up about my mum!
I meant it to sound threatening, but it came out like I was pleading.
Your mum looks older than my grandma, said Kim. How old was she when she had you, Mandy? 60, 70, 100. You're just being stupid, I said. My mum's not that old. How old is she then?
It's none of your business, I said. She's 55, said Melanie. And her dad's even older. He's 62. I felt my face flushing deep red. I told her when we were best friends and she had sworn she'd never ever tell.
So what's Daddy like then?
Kim asked Melanie. He's got this silly beard and he wears a smock, said Melanie gleefully.
A smock? Like a frock? Mandy's dad wears a frock, Kim yelled and they all doubled up laughing.
It's not a frock, I gabbled desperately.
It's a man's smock, a fisherman's smock. Daddy just wears it when he's painting. Daddy!
They all shrieked again. My face felt as if it were on fire. I didn't know how the daddy had slipped out. I tried so hard to say mum and dad like all the others. I thought daddy's smock looked silly too. And I wished my mum didn't have grey hair and a big bulky body and puffy feet. I wished my mum was young and cool and pretty like the other mums. I wished my dad was young and strong like the other dads. I'd fall asleep making up all these things and I'd dream about them too. But nearly always, halfway through a dream, when I got to the very best bit and we were dashing off to Disneyland or somewhere, my own mum and dad would suddenly bob up out of nowhere, looking even older and more anxious. And they'd be calling for me frantically. I'd look back and I'd see them crumpling, starting to cry. I'd wake up in the morning feeling so guilty that I'd go downstairs to make them a cup of tea and they'd call me their good little girl.
Constantly
empty space. But still it seems that nothing touches you anymore, and you're not really sure which way to turn.
I wished it so badly that sometimes at night, in bed, I pretended I was adopted, and that one day my real mum and dad would come and take me away. They'd be ever so young and hip and stylish, and they'd let me wear all the latest fashions and play music really loud and eat at McDonald's. And they'd let me go round by myself and stay out ever so late and never ever get cross. I'd fall asleep making up all these things and I'd dream about them too, but nearly always, halfway through a dream, when I got to the very best bit and we were dashing off to Disneyland or somewhere, my own mum and dad would suddenly bob up out of nowhere, looking even older and more anxious. And they'd be calling for me frantically. I'd look back and I'd see them crumpling, starting to cry. I'd wake up in the morning feeling so guilty that I'd go downstairs to make them a cup of tea and they'd call me their good little girl.
You should know that things aren't always as they seem. So wise to swim depths of the tide that's pulling you in, makes you think your life has been a waste of time.
They make me call them Mummy and Daddy, but they're not my real parents, someone blurted out. It seemed to be my mouth saying it before I could stop it. It startled me, and it startled them too, even Kim. It's meant to be a secret, I went on. I was adopted when I was a baby. My real mum's amazing. She's a fashion model. Anyway, she had me very young and it was going to interfere with her career, so she had me adopted, but she keeps in touch. It upsets my adopted mum and dad, but they can't stop her, and she keeps sending me wonderful presents. All sorts of fashionable clothes and stuff, but my adopted mum doesn't approve and locks them away in trunks and makes me wear all this baby stuff. It was getting easier and easier to make up, and they were all listening, all believing me. Sarah's mouth was hanging open and even Kim looked impressed. I'd forgotten Melanie.
You liar, she said. None of it's true. I know your mum and dad and they're your real mum and dad. And
it is true. I swear it is, I insisted.
You shouldn't swear on it, said Melanie, because I know it's all a lie. When your mum came round to collect you from my house, she chatted to my mum and went on and on about you and how she'd had all this yucky fertility treatment for ages and they'd given up all hope of ever having a baby. And then they tried to adopt, but they were too old. And then your mum suddenly had you. Our little miracle baby. That's what she said. My mum told me. So you're a liar.
Poor Mumsy's going to be so upset when she finds out that Mandy goes round telling everyone she's adopted, said Kim.
How will she find out? I said hoarsely.
We'll try asking her. How old was Mandy when you adopted her, Mrs. White? I'll say. And she'll say, oh, Mandy's my own little girl. And I'll say, that's not what Mandy says. She swears she's adopted, said Kim, her eyes gleaming.
You're wicked, wicked, wicked! I shouted and I slapped Kim's face hard. My arm reached up of its own accord. Now I was for it.
Just one more word and I'm gonna explode. I'm gonna self-combust. I'm gonna blow up the world. Just one more look, you're gonna cross the line. I mean, over the edge, you're on thin black ice.
I dashed out into the road to get away from Kim because I knew she was going to kill me. There was a big blur of red and a shriek of brakes. I saw the bus. I screamed. And then I fell.
If I just had a little more time, I'd get some duct tape.